Bristow by Frank Dickens, featuring Michael Williams as Bristow and Rodney Bewes as Jones, with Owen Brenman and Dora Bryan. Mr. Bristow regrets.
Being by nature a kind and philanthropic man, my thoughts at Christmas sometimes turn to good King Wenceslas and his royal behaviour on the evening celebrating the Feast of Stephen, when, accompanied by only a page, he sallied forth with food, drink and pine logs to find the dwelling of a peasant who lived a few leagues away. I was reminded of this a few weeks ago, as I watched one of our uniformed security men telling some homeless people to move on. Seeing the despair on their faces, I drew attention to the incident by calling Jones, a fellow buying clerk in the Chester Perry organisation.
"Those poor wretches sleeping in their cardboard boxes,"
I said.
"Are they so different from us?"
"Of course they are. We've got jobs and they haven't. We'll eat at Christmas and they will go hungry."
"But Jones, what is their future? What are their prospects?"
"What about our futures? What about our prospects? We're on the same boat. You, me, and that fellow arguing with the security guard."
The man Jones alluded to was an unshaven, broad-shouldered, ill-dressed ruffian type of man, whose face I recognized. I said as much to Jones.
"It's that Tommy Payne, the troublemaker. He used to work here, but they fired him for insubordination. He was always distributing pamphlets, criticising the management." "Good riddance to him, I say. We don't want troublemakers making waves all over the place. Smooth running, that's what counts in an organisation like ours."
"But Jones, what about individuals?"
"Oh, devil take them. I'm for conformity in all things." "Oh, good morning, Miss Peach."
"Good morning, Mr. Bristow." "Good morning, Mr. Jones. I'm selling tickets for the firm's annual Christmas dinner and dance."
"Our usual seats, please. Within roll-throwing distance of the top table."
"No ticket for me. I shan't be attending this year."
"That'll be table two, Ozzy. I beg your pardon, Mr. Bristow."
"I shan't be going."
"It's all right, Miss Peach. It's one of his little jokes."
"Letter to Messrs. Dingley and Dobson."
"I said you were joking, Bristow."
"We are now in Bristow, a position to
you...
go ahead..." "Sorry, Jones, did you say something?"
"Bristow, I said you're joking."
"In regard to what? The Christmas dinner and dance? I shan't be attending."
"I'm being serious."
"So am I. I am not going."
"You always go."
"I usually go, but this year I'm giving it a miss. Because everyone else is going, it doesn't mean I have to follow."
"Put him down for a ticket, Miss Peach. Before you came in, we were talking about individuality, and he likes to think of himself as an individual."
"Yes,
you're only doing this because you want to be seen to be different from the rest of the staff."
"God, don't put me down for a ticket, Miss Peach. I shall not be attending. And now I'm very busy. Excuse me."
"I think he's serious."
"Bristow? Mr. Dinner and Dance? Not him. Between you and me, it's the only time in the year he comes alive."
"What shall I do about the ticket?"
"Leave it with me."
"Will you pay for it?"
"Oh, I don't know whether I want to go that far. Just leave it with me for a couple of hours."
"Morning, Miss Peach."
"Morning, Mr. Jones."
"Oh, morning."
"I'm selling tickets for the firm's Christmas dinner and dance."
"Are these dinner and dances any good?"
"Oh, they're wonderful."
"Live music?"
"There's a local group. Little Red and the Ginger Nuts."
"Lots of girls?"
"I'll say."
"Well, put me down." "Now, are we going as a group? You, me and Mr. Bristow?"
"Of course we are."
"We don't know for certain."
"There's a problem."
"Mr. Bristow suddenly decided he doesn't want to go."
"Well, you know what he's like. He doesn't want to do what everyone else wants to do. He wants it known that he's an individual. I see it as a cry for attention."
"Well, it's not necessarily that."
"What else could it be?"
"It could be all sorts of things. In the last firm I was at, although the management came to the parties because they were expected to attend, they didn't exactly join in." "They slightly detached themselves from the rank and file." "Perhaps Bristow's doing just that, keeping his distance, bucking for promotion."
"I wouldn't put it past him. He's capable of anything."
"What the devil is going on out here? Get back to your desks and get on with your work, all of you!"
"Mr. Fudge, I'm selling tickets for the firm's Christmas dinner and dance."
"Then I suggest you come back during the lunch break. White people have work to do. Where's Bristow?"
"Don't know, Mr. Fudge."
"When he comes back, I want to see him."
"He wants to see Bristow, huh? I wonder what that's all about." The plot thickens.
"Guess what?
I've just been talking to Hickford of the Sports and Social Club, and he tells me Sir Reginald, our beloved firm's founder, has graciously accepted to be guest of honour at the firm's dinner and dance on Friday.
No!
And not only that, he's bringing Lady Chester Perry. Oh, wow. And not only that, two of the children.
Two of the children as well.
Is Mr. Bristow not in?
Well, he's around here somewhere. Probably sucking up to some department head or other.
Mm.
What do you mean?
Well, we have reasons to believe he's after promotion.
And he'll let no one or nothing stand in his way, if I know him. He's capable of anything.
Mm. I didn't know he was ambitious. Oh, I'm quite thrilled.
Sir Reginald and Lady Chester Perry. And a couple of the brats, too.
Hewitt, what's your language? I will have nothing derogatory said about Sir Reginald or his family. They are responsible, let me remind you, for the roofs over our heads, the food in our stomachs.
I have no trouble getting rid of the tickets for the dinner if Sir Reginald is coming.
You are right, Miss Peach. You'd better take Mr. Bristow's ticket back.
But he won't be able to get in without it. And I'm sure he'd love to come once he knows Sir Reginald.
He's had his chance and he's turned it down. If he wants to play silly, he'll find other people can play silly. Take it, Miss Peach, and sell it.
I think he'll be very annoyed.
Then I think he will just have to be annoyed. Don't worry, I'll break the news to him. In fact, I'll look forward to breaking the news to him.
I need to send a letter to Mrs. Dingley and Dobson. I'm in a hurry, so I'll wait.
Why, Mr. Bristow, we are in a dominant mood today.
Somebody has to be. Get any work done around here.
I didn't realise you were ambitious.
Oh, of course I am. Runs in the family. Oh. Ambitious genes. Started with my great-great-great-grandfather, Rufus, in the 17th century. He was a poacher.
Oh.
Had ambitions to be the greatest poacher in the business. Shot down like a dog, he was.
Oh.
By a gamekeeper in the forest of a Scottish lord. Foot caught in a bear trap when he was hunting rabbits. Shot while he was gnawing through his ankle, trying to free himself.
No, I meant ambition management-wise.
Of course I have. Why do you think I've been working as a buying clerk all this time?
I thought you were doing it to pay your rent.
Mm-hmm. Fooled you then, didn't I? Same as I'm fooling everyone else. Learning the ropes. That's the name of the game. You learn the ropes, and when the time is right, zim-zam-zoom.
Oh!
Chief buyer. You learn a little more by waiting and observing, and zim-zam-zoom.
Oh. Oh.
Chief buyer for the group. Pause to take stock and look around, and zim-zam-zoom. Top man.
Will you be lunching in the canteen today?
No. Today I shall be assembling my thoughts whilst I saunter through the park.
Oh.
I have much to dwell on, and the hurly-burly of the canteen is not conducive to quiet thinking. Good afternoon. Mr. Payne. Isn't it? I'm well wrapped up against the cold in a selection of your pamphlets.
Cold doesn't bother me. Never has, never will. The only thing that bothers me is man's inhumanity to man.
I saw them moving your crowd along this morning.
Moving us on? You mean trying to move us on? It's it more than some oversized, overweight, overbearing oaf like that to see us off?
I believe you once worked for the Chester Perry Company.
I did, sir. I did indeed. I did 3 years in the dispatch department. And one day I found I'd been dispatched myself. They'll rue the day. And that day will come sooner than you think, on Friday, as it happens.
But Friday is the date of the annual Christmas dinner and dance.
You are correct, sir. You are correct.
But you can't go. They won't let you in.
Think not. You think wrong. You work for the scoundrel, judging by the look here. The general seediness and rundown of you gives it away.
Mm-hmm.
The sad... What might have been look in your eyes spells Chester Perry to me.
You haven't answered my question. How will you get in? I think you're having me on.
Having you on, eh? Then I'll have you on a little bit more. Sir Reginald Chester Perry, his wife and his family will all be attending the dinner and dance.
Now I know you're having me on. Sir Reginald never goes.
I can see you do not believe me. It's obvious. You never read one of my books.
You write books?
Rights of Guys and the Age of Treason are mine.
I've never heard of them.
That's why you don't believe in me. But on Friday you'll see me in action when the whole Chester Perry staff will unite with me against the management.
I should like to see it. But I'm not going.
Oh, I'm sorry you'll not see it, but you'll get to hear about it, don't worry.
You have a very infectious laugh.
Runs in the family, we laugh loudly and effectively. Makes people happy. Even when I worked in customs and excise, I used to make people laugh. One of my ancestors, a gamekeeper, once shot a poacher who'd been caught in a bear trap. He laughed as he shot him, and the poacher died with a smile on his face.
Afternoon, Bristow. Where did you go for lunch? The director's dining room?
It's of no concern to you. But since you asked, I've been walking around the park, thinking things over, and decided it would be politically correct to attend the Christmas dinner and dance.
The fact that Sir Reginald and Lady Chester Perry are attending did nothing to change your mind?
Sir Reginald and Lady Chester Perry are really going to be there?
As if you didn't know. And you didn't know the two grandchildren will be there.
I can't believe this. That chap Payne was right. I had heard it mentioned, but you know how these rumours start up. I frankly didn't believe it.
Well, you wouldn't, would you? After all, you're an individual. You don't go along with the crowd. So I suppose you'll be wanting your ticket now.
Naturally. I wouldn't want to miss seeing the firm's founder and his lady wife in person.
Well, unfortunately, it's a sight that is to be denied you. Since the news broke about Sir Reginald being guest of honour, all the tickets are sold.
But Miss Peach would have left one with you in case I changed my mind. She's like that.
That's true, she did, but I gave it back. Had to. There was a sudden demand. And you seem so determined not to go.
I'm not doing everything all the others do. I'm an individual.
I remember the words quite clearly. And I could see that you meant them.
You gave it back. I don't believe you.
Ask her. If you don't believe me, ask her. They were going like hotcakes as soon as the news of Sir Reginald broke. So I gave it back. It's hard luck, but it'll teach you a lesson.
You realise this means I can't get in?
I suppose it does, really. That's why I was so surprised when you turned it down. It's usually one of the highlights of our year, that dog. Still, there's always next year to look forward to.
I've got to go. Got to. Especially with that Pain chap about to pull off something spectacular. What was that he said? Turn the whole of the staff against the management.
Oh, by the way, Fudge wants to see you in his office. Why don't you use the old Pals Act? Ask him if he can get you a ticket.
The thoughts I harboured as I went into Fudge's office were neither kindly nor philanthropic. I heard nothing of what he said and felt none of the blows he rained on my head and shoulders. First thing I did after I'd been patched up in the sick bay was call on the postboy and acquaint him with the facts. For some unaccountable reason, he told me to see Mrs. Purdy, the tea lady.
It's very nice of the postboy to put you on to me, but I can't see how I can help. Short of disguising yourself as a tea lady, I can't think of any way you can get in without a ticket.
Oh, dear.
With Sir Reginald and his family there, the place will be swarming with security men, and your face is too well known to try anything.
Looking at the situation overall, it would be both a pleasure and a delight to see Sir Reginald humbled. Brought to his knees, even, in front of his lady wife, his grandchildren, and his entire staff. But on the other hand, he has enabled me to keep my head above water for the past 7 years. And what has this Tom Paine done for me? Not forgetting that one of his ancestors laughingly shot down like a dog my great-great-grandfather, Rufus. Nothing. In effect, he even plans to recreate the incident by shooting down the man who puts a roof over my head. And, of course, if Sir Reginald goes, the firm goes. So, to be employed or not, that is the question. Whether it is nobler in the mind to know security and the comforts of a regular income, whilst hating every second, or put up with the trials and tribulations that social security demands in exchange for freedom and a lifestyle not unlike that of Mr. Payne. Viewing it thus far, there is only one decision.
and it comes down heavily on the throwing of the coin I now flick into the air. Heads is Sir Reginald, tails Payne. Heads. I am for Sir Reginald. Payne must be stopped. But how do I gain entrance? It is ironical that the last person I expected to solve the solution provided me with the clue. It came about as I was carrying my in-tray over to my desk that same afternoon.
Mr. Bristow, the way you swivel your hips as you're trying to stop the papers falling out of that tray reminds me of someone doing the Lambada.
A little less of your comments and a little assistance would not go amiss.
Oh, I'll give you a hand if you need it. Come here.
Got it.
Oh. Will they be doing the Lambada on Friday night, you reckon? Oh,
will you stop talking about Friday? Will they be dancing?
Oh, of course. According to Miss Peach, there's a local group. Little Red and the Ginger Nuts.
I suppose that was the moment when, if I had been that Greek fellow in the bath, I would have leapt out shouting, Eureka. Instead, I made my way to Hickford's office. Hickford of the Sports and Social Club is the organiser of the annual dinner and dance.
Come in.
Good afternoon, Hickford.
Oh, it's you, Bristow. If it's tickets for the dinner and dance you want, I'm afraid we're completely sold out. Miss Peach told me of your rather cavalier attitude when you were first approached.
It's not about tickets at all. I'm seeking your advice. The Chester Ferry Cycling Club are thinking of holding a small Christmas beano, and we wondered how you went about contacting entertainment.
I didn't realise we had a Chester Ferry Cycling Club. Who runs it?
Yeah, one of the lift boys. He's very good on the hill.
I don't deal with the entertainment side. Miss Golightly handles that side of things. And now, if you will excuse me.
Certainly. Thank you.
I hurried immediately to Miss Golightly's office.
Come in, boy.
I could not see Miss Golightly at first. Her office was dim. The shutters were down. The room was airless, stuffy and dusty. Yesterday's tea and cakes were scattered all over her desk, and she was wearing last year's clothes.
What is it, boy?
You're doing Miss Havisham. And you were expecting the postboy.
Make it snappy. You'll be here in a minute.
I wondered how you organised the entertainment for this year's dinner and dance.
Mrs. Purdy's son is handling the music side. His group, Little Red and the Ginger Nuts, can be contacted through her.
Thank you, Mustache. Bye.
Yeah, Mrs. Purdy. Why didn't you tell me your son was Little Red? Of Little Red and the Ginger Nuts.
I didn't know you were into music. Well, not that kind of music, anyhow. I somehow had you down as Frank Sinatra or Dean Martin. Not that rubbish my son plays.
They are the group that are playing for the Chester Ferry dinner and dance tonight.
The little devil, he never told me. I'll skin him when I get home.
No. I want you to be nice to him. He's the only way I can get into the dinner and dance. There's one of his group, the Ginger Nuts.
What instrument do you play?
None, I'm afraid.
Oh, you can't go on as one of the Ginger Nuts if you don't play an instrument. It wouldn't be good for their image. I'm afraid there's no way. Wait a minute, then. Let me think. Tell you what you have got that's interesting. Sometimes when there's a lot of noise in your office, you've often attracted my attention by rapping your spoon on the edge of your saucer.
Oh, you mean like this?
And sometimes when you're too tired to come over to the trolley and you want tea and a coconut macaroon, you tap a different rhythm.
Yeah, tea and coconut macaroon is...
That's it!
What's this?
That's tea and a gingerbread man.
And this?
That's tea, two lumps of strawberry cheesecake.
It was raspberry, actually.
Whatever it was, it's very good. Do you think you can make the noise by rattling the spoons on your knees? That's it, I'll tell him you play the spoon.
Will he go for that?
I'm his mother.
Yeah, but Mrs. Purdy, I'd like you to help me out, but...
The day passed quietly, but as it wore on, there was an air of expectancy over the whole building.
Mr. Bristow.
Are these rumours true? That you are not going to attend the annual dinner and dance tonight?
Whoever told you that?
Everybody. Mr. Jones, Mr. Hewitt, Miss Peach, the lift boy, the post boy, everybody.
You think lack of a ticket would stand in the way of a Bristow if he wanted to go to a dance?
Oh, I know. You're using your new management friends.
New management friends?
No. Zim-zam-zoom.
No. I haven't done any zim-zam-zooming yet.
Then how will you get in?
Rest assured, I will be there. And I may surprise you.
Oh, you'll save me a dance. The last waltz?
I doubt whether Little Red and the Ginger Nuts are up to the last waltz. We shall just have to wait and see.
Oh. Evening, all.
Hello, Mum. What you doing here?
This is Mr. Bristow, the man I was telling you about.
I know, Mum. The man on spoons. Mr. Bristow, I'd like you to meet the rest of the boys. George, Bob, Dozy, Beaky, Mick, Titch and Tom.
Yeah.
How do you do? It's the chap I met in the park the other day. You never mentioned you were in the group. So you're on spoons. Love the spoons.
Hello, Mr. Payne. I didn't realise you were in the Ginger Nuts, too.
Oh, I'm a lead singer.
Yeah, and you've got everything planned out.
Oh, I can't wait. I start by singing If I Ruled the World. And as I'm singing, I move around the room until I'm standing next to Sir Reginald. Then I'll let him have it. Pow! Until you run snivelling out the back door and into the gutter where he belongs. Yeah? Hear that?
Red. Huh? Your mother and I would like a word with you in private.
Oh, over here is quiet. What's the problem?
Seeing your mother is a tea lady and I'm on spoons, I wonder whether you have a kettle drum.
Oh, right, yeah. Now, one, two, three.
Excellent. Thank you. Now, when I start to play the spoons, I want you to come in heavy with a kettle drum.
But won't that...
You don't want any arguments. You do exactly what Mr. Bristow says, you hear? There's a good boy. I'll make you lemon jelly tomorrow.
Lemon jelly? Oh, yum, yum, Mum. Stand by, everybody.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the serious side of proceedings being over, the rest of the evening is given over to pure enjoyment. And to set the ball rolling and the toes are tapping, we bring you Little Red and the Ginger Nuts.
Let's go, boys.
Right, Harry, here we come.
Sir Reginald and Lady Chester Perry, ladies, gentlemen and children. We shall start the entertainment with Tommy Payne. Let's give him a big hand. Tommy Payne!
Well, Sir Reginald and Lady Chester Perry, I shall like to begin by singing a song from the celebrated musical Pickwick. And as I sing, I shall distribute pamphlets. If I rule the world... The first thing I would do is get rid of the Chester Perry management. Yes, management, even in its best state, is but a necessary evil. In its worst state, an intolerable one. Management, that's just, is a badge of lost innocence.
Jones.
Well, Bristow, congratulations are in order.
Yeah.
Your actions last night saved what could have been a complete fiasco.
Oh,
I told you that Tom Payne was a troublemaker, didn't I?
Yeah.
And luckily the security people were there to eject him and escort Sir Reginald and Lady Chester Perry off the premises before Payne could get into his full stride.
Well done, Mr. Bristow.
Yeah.
Here, here.
Lucky you were there last night. You fair saved the day.
Mr.
Bristow, your actions last night. What can I say?
Help.
You saved the party. Lord, Mr. Bristow. What can I say? What can I say?
Tea and cakes around the house today. Compliments of the canteen staff.
Rather decent of them.
Pay attention, everybody. Sir Reginald and Lady Chester Perry would like to thank whoever was responsible for preventing the untoward happenings at last night's annual dinner and dance.
Zim, zam, zoom!
Get on with your work!
Oh. Yes, sir. Certainly, sir. Right away, sir.
Bristow was written by Frank Dickens and featured Michael Williams as Bristow, Rodney Bewes as Jones, Owen Brenman as Hewitt, Dora Bryan as Mrs. Purdy, John Glover as Tom Payne and Fudge, Roger Lloyd Pack as Hickford, Katie Odie as Miss Sunman, Carol Starks as Miss Peach, Lucy Ackhurst as Miss Golightly, and Simon Schatzberger as Little Red. The music was composed and performed by John Whitehall. The sound recording was by Graham Harper, the director, Neil Cargill.